I'm a desperate man. I'm Bob Main, and I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show done by a practical guy, and that's me. Well, I wanted to talk about some first impressions. This episode is pretty much going to be dedicated to some first impressions I have about some guns and about some gear and things like that. I figured I hadn't done a gear podcast or a gear talk in a long time. And several weeks ago, one of my listeners suggested that I do a podcast and maybe even a YouTube video about some first impressions that I have of some products out there. And I thought it was a really good idea. So I'm going to take him up on that and let you hear it all. So I will start with a new gun. Most of you, if you follow me on Facebook, and by the way, if you don't follow me on Facebook, please do. If you follow me on Facebook, you noticed I put a picture up of a new Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 9mm with no thumb safety. And I recently picked one of those up. The only issue I had with the M&P Shield was that it had the thumb safety. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why I have an issue with that, because if you listen to some older episodes, you'll know why. I talked about that. Talked about why, just for me, personal preference again, for me, I just didn't care for it. Now, recently, a member of the Shooters Club won my Shield, and he just got it recently, and he sent me an email telling me that he loves it, and that's great. And I know he has a 1911, and he probably trains pretty extensively with a 1911. So, Scott, congratulations. You know, you won the gun, and you love it, and that's great. And if the thumb safety doesn't bother you, if that's not an issue for you, then fine. Then, you know, carry on if you have a Smith & Wesson M&P Shield. I just happen to like the one without the thumb safety. And I never really did talk about my initial impressions on the Smith & Wesson Shield. So let me do that. You know, the no thumb safety version is really no different than the version with the safety. All they just did was make a modification in the frame. But let me tell you why I like the M&P Shield, especially in 9mm. It's okay in 40. I've shot it in 40 caliber. A little bit too much snappy recoil for me. I don't think that the 40 caliber round is worth the extra recoil and the lower capacity on any gun, really. On any gun. With ammunition being so good, especially good quality hollow point ammunition, the difference between the 9 and the 40 is not enough for me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't carry a 40 caliber, and if you feel comfortable with it, fine. But the Shield in 40 caliber, I didn't care for. I have shot it. The 9mm, however, I got to tell you, I think right now, today, as I'm recording this podcast, it's the middle of July 2014, I think it is the best single-stack 9mm fighting handgun on the market. I really do. That's how strongly I feel. Let me tell you why. First of all, it is incredibly reliable. You know, reliability is everything in a defensive handgun. It's everything. In my opinion, reliability trumps accuracy. Reliability trumps hand fit. Reliability and functionality trumps everything. It's more important than a trigger. It's more important than the sights. When you need a gun to go bang to save your life, you need a gun to go bang and not cause you problems. And I'll tell you, the Smith & Wesson Shield is incredibly reliable. Incredibly reliable gun, which is number one in my book. It shoots like a full-size gun. That's what I love about it. It's so thin and small and conceals so well, but it shoots like a full-size gun. That's why I like it as a fighting handgun. Would I have it rather than my Glock 19? No. You know, I still love my Glock 19, even though I've gotten into M&Ps lately, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about M&Ps a little bit later in this episode. Okay. Well, I guess I'm talking about one now, the M&P Shield. But I'm going to talk about some of the other M&P models as well that I now own. No, I would not take my shield over a Glock 19 if I had my choice. In other words, okay, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters, just which one do I want to take? I'm going to take my Glock 19 all day long. Higher capacity. I've trained and trained and trained and trained with it for years and years and years. Thousands of rounds. I'm good with it. That's that. But I've been carrying my shield a lot lately. It's just so much easier to conceal. It's so much lighter. You know, weight is everything in a concealed carry gun as well. Weight is everything. If excess weight causes you not to carry your gun, I got to ask you all a question, folks. What good is it? What good is your gun? Other than a range toy, of course. If you like a range toy or you like something that likes to sit in your safe and you can go to the range and have fun with, then I guess that serves a purpose. But other than that, as a concealed carry, defensive handgun, what good is it if the weight is so much that it causes you not to carry it? Now, I don't want to hear dress around your gun. I'm so tired of hearing that. How about you? Are you tired of hearing that? I don't want to hear that anymore. Dress around your gun. Sometimes we can't do that. I'm in the Handgun World mobile studio right now. I'm on the freeway, headed up to a business appointment. Right now, I'm carrying in the appendix position my Glock 26. The way I'm dressed right now, that's as big as I can get away with. Okay? I'm not carrying the shield today because I felt like carrying my Glock 26. Yeah, just something I felt like doing. And when I put the gun on and I put it in the holster and decided to conceal it and everything, it's working and it's staying concealed like I want it to. So that's fine. But sometimes I can't dress around my gun. Man, I tell you, it's just frustrating to read that kind of stuff on the internet or hear people say that. It's just sometimes not possible. So sometimes we have to downsize our guns. Now, if you're going to do that, I really strongly consider, I want you to strongly consider the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield. You know, my first impressions, well, you know, I can run the flush magazine with 7 rounds in it. And by the way, 7 rounds in the mag plus 1, that's an 8-round capacity. 8 rounds is decent in my book. Not the greatest, but it's decent. I think the chances of me having to reload in a gunfight, other than a malfunction, I think it's pretty slim if I've got 8 rounds on board. So it's very, very concealable with the 7-round flush magazine. And even with the 8-round flush magazine, it is a much longer grip than my Glock 26. It's even a longer grip than an M&P 9 compact. But it's so thin, it makes a big difference when trying to conceal it, especially in the appendix carry position. And of course, if you're carrying behind your strong side hip, it's incredibly easy to conceal. And the other thing, the other first impression I have, is that Smith & Wesson did it right with their extended magazines. You know, here's what I don't like about some of the extended magazines out there. Let's take the Springfield XDS, for example. When you put that extended round, that extended magazine in there, the one that gives you like extra 2 rounds or something like that, it turns it into a freaking huge grip. Really big. I mean, a big, big grip. Well, that's kind of defeating the purpose of a concealed carry gun, isn't it? Smith & Wesson did it very well with the M&P Shield. The very sleek. The 8-round mags are very, very sleek. It does make the grip longer. Not by much, but it's very sleek. It's got rounded corners. It's thin. It doesn't make the gun real bulky. And it makes it a lot easier to draw. So they've designed this gun well, and it's stone cold reliable. That's what I really like about it. And it shoots like a big gun. So I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've been waiting for the No Thumb Safety Shield to come out, and I jumped all over it. As soon as I found out they were shipping, I went to Sparks Firearms, local gun shop, place where Ben works. And I asked Mr. Sparks to order an M&P shield with no thumb safety for me. It came in about a week later, and I went and picked it up. I love it. So those are some of the first impressions of it. If you're looking for a good single-stack 9mm, hey, forget Glock. You know, who knows when Glock's ever going to make a single-stack 9mm? You guys know I'm a big Glock fan. I love Glocks. Always have. Always will. I'll always have Glocks as part of my collection and concealed carry rotation. and the Glock 19 until somebody comes out with something that just flat out beats the Glock 19 in a lot of different ways, it's probably always going to be my primary go-to gun. But if you're looking for a small single stack 9mm, I know that there's an XDS out there. I know that there's Ruger LC9s. I know that there's Carr PM9s, which I'm going to talk about, and I've always been a huge fan of the Carr PM9s. I just think for the price point of under $400, or maybe even just a little bit over $400, it's accurate. Oh, and by the way, did I say it's a great trigger on the Shield? The M&P Shield has a phenomenal trigger for a single-stack gun. It's got a good, crisp reset. Somebody asked me on Facebook the other day, hey, did you put the Apex trigger kit in yours? No. What do I need the Apex trigger kit for in my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield? I don't need an Apex trigger kit. What do I need that for? It's a concealed carry gun. I shouldn't be messing with the trigger anyway. I should learn to shoot the stock trigger, but it comes out of the box with a good trigger. Now, some of the other M&P guns have better triggers than they used to, but for some reason still not as good as this Shield. But no, I don't need an Apex trigger. It's fine the way it is, and I'm accurate with it, and you know, once I finish giving it a 1,000-round trigger job, it's going to be just fine. So those are my initial impressions. As I train more, and I do intend to train with this Shield, as I train more with it, I will be reporting some more on it, okay? So those are my first impressions on that. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's get off of a gun here for a minute. And let's shift gears to a holster. Jason Christensen contacted me recently and said he had a new version of his ASP, A-S-P, appendix-specific platform. He had a new ASP appendix carry holster that he wanted me to try. And I said, yeah, send me two. Let me send you some money. I sent him some money. He sent me two of the new ASP holsters. And I got to tell you, I am really, really impressed. For those of you that appendix carry, listen carefully. Let me tell you why I'm so impressed with the new ASP 2.0. First impressions. I've got one for my M&P Shield. I asked him to send me one for the Shield. And I have another one for my Glock 42. Jason did it right. First of all, let's talk about the profile of the holster. You know, a lot of appendix carry holsters are very wide. The holster is very wide. I don't mean thick. I don't mean thickness, the part that's between your belt and your body. I mean the width of it, the profile of it. And so when you're sitting for long periods of time or driving for long periods of time, like I do, they start to poke you in different areas and it starts to hurt. Well, Jason has built the profile. You got to go to the website and look at it. It's too hard to describe on an audio podcast. But look at the profile of it. He's tapered it in all the right areas to where it doesn't do that. Plus, he's using his hybrid concept. He's using a leather backing with a Kydex body. And that right there is a fantastic concept for comfort. So for comfort and speed and the ability to draw fast and carry the gun well, look at the ASP 2.0. Here's the other cool thing. Now, this is innovative. This is really good. You can also use that gun if you don't appendix carry. Listen carefully. All of you who do not appendix carry, you're going to want to hear this. You can also, especially for a small gun, you can buy the ASP. And he's got a setting on the clip where you can change it to a 20-degree cant. How cool is that? You can make it a 20-degree cant, which means you can put it back behind your strong side hip. And you can have a little bit of a cant to it, which aids in concealability and being able to draw effectively and quickly. And I love that. Just by unscrewing one screw on the clip, turning it, and screwing it back down into the other hole, you can do that. That's what's really cool. I love it. And by the way, the clip is mounted to the Kydex body. It's not mounted to anything else. And it's right in the front of the holster. So just check out that design. I think the way it is, it really stabilizes it. He uses two screws to stabilize the clip. Two. That clip does not move. The other thing I love about this holster, my first impressions about it, it doesn't move. It doesn't let the gun move. It's incredibly stable. Whether you're appendix carrying or whether you're apparent carrying behind the hip, it doesn't matter. It's incredibly stable. And that's very important, especially if you choose to try to carry a larger gun. I'm thinking about ordering an ASP for my Glock 26. I'm considering it. It might be kind of cool. But that's what I really like about it. And I'm also going to get one for my car PM9. So the hybrid concept, the very stable clip, the ability to just simply adjust one clip and change it to a cant, and it's very... I'll tell you what, the way Jason puts a lot of thought into his stuff, and I know I talk a lot about Concealment Solutions on this podcast, and no, they're not a sponsor. I don't have paid sponsors. I use products, and when I use products, if I like them, I talk about them. If I don't, I don't talk about them. And I've liked everything that Jason has sent me, except I didn't care for the first version of the ASP that he sent me several months ago. But this one, the ASP 2.0, is excellent. Priced right, too. Priced very, very affordable. You know, you get a lot of expensive holsters out there, and all they are is just a piece of Kydex. Jason's holster is less money than those that are just a piece of Kydex, and he's got the nice leather backing to help keep it nice and comfy and all that. So very well thought out. And by the way, he's reinforced the clip. He makes it real easy for you to put the holster on and take it off easily. That's very important. Just a very, very well designed, well thought out holster. So my first impressions of the new ASP 2.0, the ASP, Appendix Specific Platform 2.0 by Concealment Solutions. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Check it out. Go to concealmentsolutions.com. I will report back to you some more feedback. Now, I've only been carrying this, my M&P Shield in the ASP holster, for about a week and a half at the time of this recording. I want to carry it for about a good month before I really render a good judgment on it. He's also sending me another clip because I wanted it to ride a little bit lower than the way it came out of the box. So when he sends me the new clip and I put it on there to give it a little bit lower ride, then I'll report more. And by the way, the nice thing about this ASP, it doesn't ride so low that you can't get a good firing grip. Jason's designed it to where it rides high enough above the belt to where you can get a good grip on it. For me, it was just a tad bit too high, about a quarter of an inch. So he's making me another clip where I can adjust it downward and make it ride a little bit lower, about a quarter of an inch lower. And then that should be right on for me. But that's what's great, is Jason will accommodate you in what you need. That's the mark of a true customer service professional and a true holster maker and someone who's a really solid believer in the needs of concealed carriers, which I like. So thank you very much, Jason Christensen of ConcealmentSolutions.com. That's ConcealmentSolutions.com, and it's the ASP 2.0. Okay, let's take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
England, Wales, Scotland, Australia, Canada, and 12 other industrialized and largely disarmed nations have higher violent crime rates than the U.S. This is according to a Dutch Ministry of Justice multinational survey. According to that survey, England and Australia are twice as vicious as America, with higher rates of robberies, muggings, and assaults. Switzerland, a well-armed nation, has a violent crime rate about the same as ours. Disarmed countries are dangerous countries, and America's few disarmed cities are the most dangerous in the Union. This is no coincidence. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, during the break, I want to talk about the Shooters Club. Congratulations to all of you who invested in the Shooters Club. 8 of you won prizes. They've all gone out. And consider the Shooters Club. If you like the work that Ben and I do and you can't make it to one of our classes, but you want to see some videos of what we teach, go to shootersclubmembers.com or go to handgunworld.com and click the Shooters Club page. For $75 a year, you can access, like, we've got over 25 videos up there right now, and we put a new one up every month. Or you can do the $8 a month option. Either one, proceeds go to help support our show and our efforts. And it's pretty cool. I think you're going to like it. I've been getting a lot of great feedback on the Shooters Club information. Also, you can support my show by not spending any extra money. Next time you make an Amazon purchase, please use my Amazon link. Go to handgunworld.com. Click the Amazon store page. There's a direct link right there if you need a direct link. If your mobile browser doesn't work for some reason, with the icon, just click the direct link. And make your purchases on my Amazon store. I get a little bit of a fee. A little bit of a commission from Amazon. And that helps to support my show. And hey, if you're going to buy something anyway, just all you got to do is buy it through my link. It doesn't cost you any extra money, but you do support my show. Remember, once again, I do not have paid sponsors on this show. So I'm not pushing a bunch of products that you may or may not want anyway. I try to keep this as commercial-free as I can. Don't forget, I'm going to California to teach Beyond Concealed Carry. Ben is teaching a rifle class here October 11th in San Antonio. My California class is October 18th. Houston is sold out. We're doing Beyond Concealed Carry September 27th in Houston. If you want to get on the waiting list, you can get on the waiting list. We might have some cancellations. Email me if you want to get on the waiting list. Thank you to everybody in Houston who has signed up. Very much appreciate that. And don't forget, we're teaching a night fighting class in December in San Antonio. And finally, follow me on Facebook. Just search Handgun World on Facebook. Please don't use the Bob Main page on Facebook if you want to talk about gun stuff. That's my personal page. If you want to talk about gun stuff, follow me at Handgun World on Facebook. Facebook.com/Handgun World Podcast. And also, you can follow me on Twitter. Just search Handgun World on Twitter. All right, the next first impression that I want to talk about is Trijicon HD night sights. I recently ordered some Trijicon HDs for one of my Glocks. Now, I've seen these sights before, and I've been recommending them. I've never actually put Trijicon HDs on either of my Glocks and ran them, okay, which I'm in the process of doing right now. I've recommended them because I've actually shot guns with Trijicon HD sights. I like the fact that they're very much like the Ameriglow iDot Pros, but I've come to realize that I sort of prefer the three-dot concept at night. So I like to see three dots at night. That's kind of what I like. And what I like about the Trijicon HDs is that the two dots in the rear, when you're shooting these sights in the daytime, they're not distracting. It lets you get good front sight focus if you are shooting sighted fire. Remember, I'm talking about if you're using sighted fire. I like to point shoot a lot, and I still seriously think that in a defensive situation, you're much more likely to be point shooting than you are using sighted fire. But let's talk about sighted fire. That big orange or yellow front outline of that front sight just jumps right at you, big time. And your eyes are drawn to that front sight, and that's what I like about the Trijicon HDs. That's what I like a whole lot about them. But you still have those two tritium vials in the rear so that you have a three-dot pattern at night. And in helping Ben teach the night fighting class, I came to realize that I really like the three-dot pattern at night. And folks, you got to train with your handgun at night. I mean, that's so incredibly important. If you don't take at least one night fighting class, I think you're cheating yourself in your self-defense handgun needs. So if you live near San Antonio and you want to come take ours in December, check out the website handgunworld.com and get signed up for that. But I've come to like that three-dot pattern. And these Trijicon HDs are extremely well-built. I mean, it seems like nearly everything Trijicon makes is pretty decent quality. And if it's not, they stand behind it very well. So I'm looking forward to it, but my first impressions of these sights are very much thumbs up. I also like the U rear notch. I like that U-shaped rear notch. It's real easy to drop that front sight into the rear notch. It's quick. It's fast. Fast target acquisition. A lot of people brag about the XS big dot sights, and they brag about how fast they are. And they are. I've ran XS big dot sights before. I've used them. They are quick. They're very quick. I think the Trijicon HDs, based on what I've been able to figure out so far, I think they're just as fast. And I like the big orange color in the front. I like the orange color in the front better than the red. For me, for my eyes, it just seems to be working better for me. Some people like the big yellow outline. Either one. I like that and the fact that they're night sights. And I like that U-notch. It's real easy to drop that front sight into the U-notch. It's fast. It's fast. They're going to be good for one-handed manipulations, too. The rear sight, it's not a Novak-style cut. So it's got enough of a ledge so I can do a lot of one-handed manipulations if I need to. That's important. You got to pay attention to your rear sight. I'm not a big fan of Novak-style slant-cut rear sights because if you train yourself in doing some one-handed manipulations, which you need to do, that's something else you got to train yourself to do. You can't always assume that you're going to have both hands available if you get into a fight. So, do you know how to manipulate your gun one-handed? It's important to have the correct kind of rear sight for that, and the Trijicon HDs provide for that, and that's one thing that I like about them too. So, my first, besides the quality and the night sights and the ease of use and all that, my first impressions of the Trijicon HDs are good. Here's a first impression I really don't like about the Trijicon HD sights, and it's the cost. They are expensive. So, I'm going to give them a negative on the cost. Everything else I've talked about so far, the M&P Shield pistol, the cost is low. The ASP holster by Concealment Solutions, low cost. Trijicon HD sights, high cost. Now, are they worth it? Yeah. If I didn't think they were worth it, I wouldn't buy them and put them on my gun and start to run them. I'm also learning that, you know, as I've said before, sights are far less important than they ever used to be. Ever since I took Point Shooting Progressions by Roger Phillips. Phenomenal class. Phenomenal class. But sights are important, just not quite as important as they used to be for me. But since they are important, I want to have a good quality. And I want to have sights that I can shoot well with. The other thing I like about the Trijicon HDs, my first impressions, are for long distance shooting. They look like they're going to work a lot better for me for long distance shooting. A lot better than the XS Big Dot sights. About the same as the speed sights, and I tell you, it's such a shame that I couldn't make it work with speed sights, but, you know, they're still good sights, and I still have them. I still have the speed sights on one of my Glocks. But I think the Trijicon HDs give you a little of everything, and they do a little of everything pretty well. Pretty well. That's what I like about it. So the only negative I'm going to give the Trijicon HDs is price. And if you're looking for a competitive sight, look at the Ameriglow iDot Pros. I like those. I just don't like the dot the eye concept as much as I like the three dot concept at night. And the Ameriglow iDot Pros are the three dot. Excuse me, those are the dot the eye concept. I was a fan of the dot the eye for a while. When I took a night class, I used two different guns, and the gun that I shot with the three dots just worked a lot better for me. Now, your mileage may vary. So, again, you know, I'm giving you my first impressions. That's what this whole podcast and this whole episode right now is about. And so I'll leave it at that. But thumbs up on the Trijicon HD night sights, especially with the orange front sight outline. Okay, the next first impression that I want to give is on Kydex holsters by On Your Six Designs. If you're looking for a complete Kydex holster, if you don't want the hybrid concept like Concealment Solutions or some of the others out there, and you want a complete Kydex solution for either appendix carry or behind the hip, On Your Six Designs. Here's what I love about them. And by the way, some people won some On Your Six holsters. Some of the Shooters Club winners. I think I sent out three of them. Well, maybe it was two of them. I'm sorry. But I got a few On Your Six Designs holsters. You can find those at On Your Number Six Designs, On Your and the Number Six Designs.com. I got a chance to get to know Nick, the owner over there. He's in San Antonio. He makes these holsters. And they're awesome. Here's what I like. First of all, very, very thin. Very, very thin, very light. Cost is low. I think cost is around like $35 plus shipping or something like that. Great for appendix carry. Even good for behind the hip. Once again, you can adjust the clip. You can adjust the clip. And you can make it cant if you want to use it for behind the hip. Lightning fast. How does it compare to one of my all-time favorites, the Dale Fricke Archangel? holster. I would say not quite at the level of the Dale Frucki Archangel, but for about a third of the price, if you're looking for something inexpensive but decent quality with good retention that you could actually go to a training class with, look at the On Your Six designs. Now, for all-day comfort, I would say the Dale Frucki Archangel is better, or something similar to that. I think there's another one out there called JD Holsters, I think, that looks pretty good. All Kydex. There's a lot of Kydex holster manufacturers out there, so for all-day comfort and things like that. And I also like the belt loops better than I like the clips, and On Your Six Designs does not make any holsters with belt loops. I like those loops. Okay, that's just kind of a personal preference. However, can't say enough for the money and the value about On Your Six Designs. They're very thin. The clip holds, makes the gun very, very stable. Very stable. Again, you know, the design of the holster and the clip and the stability, you got to have some stability when you're concealed carrying. You got to have your gun. Your gun's got to be stable. It can't be flopping all over the place. It can't be flopping over your belt line or back and forth or left and right or moving around. That gun's got to be, that gun has to be exactly where you put it when you need it. And the On Your Six Designs holsters are good for that. The turnaround time is excellent as well. And by the way, the turnaround time for Jason Christensen over at Concealment Solutions, I love it. You place an order, you got it like in a week and a half or even less. Folks, nothing drives me more crazy than when I go to a website and I want to buy something and it says lead time 9 to 12 weeks. Or I've seen 14 weeks, or even 16 weeks. Come on. Now, I understand that there's some smaller companies out there, and holsters are being custom made, but if you have that much business, and you got a 14-week lead time, maybe you need to consider hiring some people to service that business, don't you think? I mean, those people are going to lose business because someone's going to say, ah, forget it, I don't want to wait 9 to 12 weeks for my holster to arrive. I'll just buy something else that I can get quicker. So, to all of you manufacturers out there, whether you're making holsters or gun parts or anything, in my opinion, 9 to 12 week lead time, way too long. Way too long. 2 weeks or less. If somebody places an order with you and you can't fill it in 2 weeks or less, I think you need to readjust your business to accommodate that. Because, hey, I mean, business must be healthy for you. So that's, you know, then readjust. Readjust your business so you can get it out in 2 weeks. All right, that's just human nature. That's just the way people buy things. You know, people pay for something, they want that instant gratification. That's just the way it is. Yes, I know. My parents and my grandparents taught me, Bob, good things come to those who wait. Okay, I get it. Good things come to those who wait. Not 9 to 12 weeks. I shouldn't have to wait quite that long. So On Your Six Designs has great turnaround time. So does ConcealmentSolutions.com. By the way, I just bought a new... Here's another first impression. I bought a new competition holster for my M&P Pro. I'm now switching to an M&P 9mm Pro for stock service pistol competition. Been saving up. I got that pistol. And I bought an international holster for IDPA competition from CompTac. Boy, do I like that. It's a modular concept, so if I ever want to go compete and make it an offset, a dropped offset holster, I can do that too. But I can't do that for IDPA SSP, Stock Service Pistol Division. So out of the box, it came in the configuration to where it, you know, holds tight against my hip, and it's IDPA approved. You know, sort of like a belt holster, but it's called the International by CompTac. And I've been using CompTac for competition holsters for a long time. I highly recommend. I've got their belt holster, their competition belt holster, for my Glocks. And now I've got their international holster for my M&P Pro 9mm, which I recently bought also from Sparks Firearms with the green fiber optic front sight. Wonderful gun. I'll give you some first impressions on that in just a few minutes. But check out the international holster for IDPA and USPSA competition by CompTac. My first impressions are very, very well made. I like the modular concept. So with the same holster, I can I can use and I can compete with it in different ways, should I choose to do that. Right now, I pretty much only see myself sticking with stock service pistol or production class if I go back to shooting USPSA again. So check that out. All right. Since I've been talking about M&P pistols, here's some more first impressions. Boy, the M&P triggers have improved a lot. The M&P triggers have improved drastically. I didn't recommend M&Ps as a primary recommendation in the past because I owned two of them and I hated the triggers. Totally hated them. And I didn't see the point in spending $150 on new trigger parts or to send it off to a gunsmith. It should have had a better trigger out of the box. Well, Smith & Wesson's really, really improved that. The trigger on my M&P Pro is very nice. It doesn't quite have the crisp tactile reset like a Glock, but pretty darn close. I like the trigger reach. Got to say that the trigger reach on the M&P is a lot better. A lot better than my Glocks, although I've gotten used to shooting the Glocks. Folks, I think you can learn to shoot anything, okay? I think grip angle and trigger reach and all that stuff, that's a lot of overblown stuff by most people. You ever notice that? Shooters have as many excuses as golfers. Right? I mean, golfers got a ton of excuses as to why they hit a bad shot. So do shooters. Oh, man, it's the grip angle, it's the trigger, it's the ammo, it's the shoes I'm wearing, it's the weather, it's the target, it's this, that, and the other thing, it's I don't have my super-duper slick telekinetic trigger in here, it's the bad sights. Man, you guys got all kinds of excuses, don't you? How many times when a shooter makes a bad shot, how many times do you hear him say, I just suck? Right? Hard to admit, isn't it? Folks, modern guns that are produced today, they can outshoot probably 95% of the people who own those guns. Would you agree with me? It's not the gun. But I do like the trigger reach a little better for me on the M&P Pro. They've improved the tactile reset. It's almost audible, which I like, but I can definitely feel it. I like that. I personally like to shoot to reset. Some people don't agree with that kind of trigger manipulation. I do. Works well for me. I tried it several different ways. Shooting to trigger reset works well for me. If you don't know what that means, it means you just let the trigger out to the reset point. That's as far as you let it out. That shortens your trigger pull. Sometimes lightens your trigger pull. You don't have all that take up. And when you learn to do that, typically you can shoot fast and you can shoot fairly accurately. So I'm very impressed with the M&P Pro trigger. The gun feels great in my hand. Hey, here's another first impression about the M&P Pro 9mm. I love the textured backstrap. And I'm using the small backstrap. Fits my hand real well. I could get away with the medium because I got relatively large hands. Not huge, but larger than average. I just kind of like the feel right now of the small one. I'm going to use the small one for a while, and then I'm going to use the medium for a while and let you know. Okay, but my first impressions is the textured backstrap is a really, really nice choice. I think I'm going to put a little bit of skateboard tape, the old cheap solution, right? I'm just going to custom cut some skateboard tape and put it on the front strap of the grip to make it a little bit less slick. And I don't use real coarse skateboard tape. I use some fine skateboard tape, just enough to give me a little bit more of a grippier feel. And I get a little creative, and when I get a little bored, I custom cut it to fit the front strap of some of my pistols. And one thing I like about skateboard tape is it's cheap, and it works, and it stays in place. I know that there's Talon grips out there, and A-grips, and all these other fancy custom molded grips. Why? Why don't you just buy some skateboard tapes, use a little bit of time, a little bit of ingenuity, and just put the tape where you want it? You don't have to buy grip tape that might put tape where you don't want it on the grip. Put it where you want it. And that's what I like about using skateboard tape is I can customize everything. So the textured backstrap that Smith & Wesson puts out with their M&Ps, very, very nice touch. Way to go, Smith & Wesson. I'm impressed with that. The other first impression I want to give you about the Smith & Wesson M&P Pro 9mm version, well, actually any of the Pro versions, the longer slide ones like mine. Mine's the 5-inch barrel. What I like about it is the sights. The sights that it comes with out of the box. Nice green fiber optic front sight. I'm really starting to like green fiber optic front sights. I can see them better. I can see the greens better than I can see the reds. Now, with a defensive sight, I like the orange. I don't know why. I like the orange, but with the competition sights, I like the green fiber optics. They seem to show up better for me. So, good usable sights. And I don't see myself changing anything about this M&P Pro in the very near future. That's the other thing I like about it. Is out of the box, I don't really have to make any changes to it. It's competition ready. I could make changes to it. I could improve it, but I don't see why I need to right now. I mean, I do intend in 2015 to get back into more competition shooting. So should I get back up to the level again to where, you know, my gun is holding me back? I'll make some changes, but I got to tell you, I'm not so arrogant to think that I'm going to get better than that gun. Okay? When it comes to competition shooting, I'll say that again. I'm not arrogant enough to think that I'm such a good shooter that I'm going to become better than my Smith & Wesson M&P Pro 9mm. Probably not going to happen. So what am I trying to say? Out of the box, stock, I'm going to shoot it the way it is, and I'm sure it's going to be just fine. I don't think it's going to hold me back in being able to compete well. See, don't fall into that trap, folks. Don't fall into the trap that you have to make a gazillion modifications to your gun to be a good shooter. Please don't fall into that trap. I beg you. I've fallen into that trap. So I'm speaking from experience. I spent too much time, money, and agony trying to make my gun shoot better instead of trying to make me shoot better. How many of you can relate to me on that? Anybody else done that before? So that's what I like. My first impressions about the M&P Pro 9mm, out of the box, competition ready, ready to go. I'll also say that Smith & Wesson, hey, they're putting out the 17-round mags again. That was a big criticism I had 6 or 7 months ago when there was an extreme shortage of M&P 17-round 9mm magazines. For whatever goofy reason, there shouldn't have been. And I was kind of ragging on Smith & Wesson about that. Well, they fixed that problem. The magazines are available. Not exactly cheap, but they're good quality magazines. When I say cheap, I mean they're not low cost. And they're certainly not cheap. They're very good quality. They're well built. So they're available again. And that's what I like. That's what I like is that they're available. They got to be available. Okay, nothing more frustrating than buying a gun and you can't find extra magazines for it because you have to have extra magazines. Especially if you're going to go into competition with it. So way to go, Smith & Wesson. They're improving that. And great gun. You might be thinking, Bob, do you like it better than a Glock 34? I don't know. This is a first impressions episode. After I run it for a while, I'll let you know whether I like it better than a Glock 34 or not. Glock 34 is an awesome gun. Glock 34 is a very awesome gun. Lots of people have won national and world championships with a Glock 34 or a Glock 17. So, you know, hey, not the gun, it's the shooter. Most of the time. As I've mentioned before, you can take a really good shooter and put just an average gun in his or her hands, and they'll smoke somebody that is got a phenomenal gun and is not that great of a shooter. So just think about that. Okay. I think that pretty much that's going to wrap up this First Impressions podcast. You know, this episode is a little bit shorter than what I normally do, but the last couple have been kind of long, and I wanted to get some First Impressions out there and tell you about them. I'll probably have more, probably as soon as I shut this recorder off. I'm going to think about some stuff I didn't talk about, so maybe I'll throw that into next week. I want to finish by asking you to send me some more voicemails. Some of you may have some pretty good comments or things to add about what I say on this show. I got an excellent avenue for you to do that. I have a voicemail account. That phone number is area code 210-646-1727. If you have a question, if you have a comment, You have something you want to say, bring up. You got 3 minutes on the voicemail. 210-646-1727. If you plan it correctly, you can say a lot in 3 minutes. 210-646-1727. Or another way to get to my voicemail, just go to handgunworld.com and you'll see a call me button on the website. Just click call me and put in your phone number and it'll hook you up with my voicemail. You can also get email notifications, by the way. If you want to get an email notification every time I put up a podcast or make a change in the website, whatever, that's a great way to stay on top of what's going on here at the Handgun World Podcast. Sign up for email notifications on my website as well, handgunworld.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode about first impressions. Again, they're my first impressions. They're my opinions. My opinions may not be exactly like yours. They better not be. Okay, you better not be believing and listening and liking everything I say. You're not an independent enough thinker if you like everything I say. But I hope you get some value in at least my opinion, and it makes you think a little bit, and it makes you kind of analyze things in a little bit of a different way. Those are my first impressions, and I thank you for tuning in. Well, I'm Bob Main. This has been another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop, and I also think that the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan.